This Fab FM podcast is proudly brought to you by Bendigo Bank, Port Douglas and Mossman, offering a full range of competitive banking products and technology you'd expect from a big bank with the personal service and care you'd expect from us. Drop into your nearest branch at Port Village Shopping Centre or Front Street Mossman. Bendigo Bank, the better big bank.
Now, Douglas Shire Council have put out a media release saying a community reference group will be formed to ensure projects billeted for a block of land located north of the Daintree River complement existing Daintree rainforest experiences and products. Now, the council has adopted a concept plan for this 376-hectare block with what they say is an aim of expanding environmental initiatives through collaboration with the community. Now, basically, the council is also saying the primary objectives are to create positive environmental and social outcomes. Now, they list six objectives: environment, partner, Indigenous, research, learn and recreation. Kim Rowley, who's a candidate for the upcoming local government elections on March 28th, he's also boss of the Tin Shed and the Mossman Golf Club, has now issued a media release saying there should be a full investigation into this whole buying of this land and what they're going to use it for, because we as a community were led to believe that it was going to be used for carbon credits. Now, they've spent close to $1 million on this land, and that's made him hopping mad. Good morning, Kim.
Morning, Paul. How are you?
I'm well. You're calling for a full investigation into this land and its uses.
My concern is the change of direction that council's now taking with this block of land. You know, if we go back to the Qantas affair, when that died, all of a sudden with very little time, next minute we hear you about this block of land being purchased. And the reasoning behind that at that stage was carbon offset. So we believed that we were led to believe that we're going to grow trees to help with council's carbon offset.
Yes.
Then all of a sudden this week we're talking about raising a committee or something to look at a different direction for the use of the land.
Do we know what the use is going to be? They have outlined a few items, something about Indigenous, something about sustainability or something like that. Do we really know what they're going to do?
Well, the mayor, I believe, mentioned a while back about exactly those areas you just brought up, and also walking trails and all this. Well, you know, again, that was used with residential ratepayers' money. They purchased this land at a cost of over $700,000.
The word is around the traps, it's a bit more than that. I mean, not much change out of a mill.
Or again, wouldn't a mill go a long way doing other infrastructure works that are needed within the Shire without buying a block of land and then don't know what to do with it? I believe there should be an investigation, an external one, to get to the bottom of why was it purchased, who instigated the idea of purchasing the land. The whole aspect of this land purchase and use needs to be come out in the open, so we as ratepayers know exactly why, who, where and when this was created.
It must have been in the works during the Qantas thing, because you couldn't have come out so quickly. When the Qantas thing fell over, suddenly the block of land, we're purchasing the block of land. It couldn't have been a last minute decision. This would have had to have been in the works previous to that. Do you think this was maybe plan B by the council all the time?
Quite possibly would have been plan B, but certainly it would have to be, as you said, part of the Qantas deal, or even in the wind prior to the Qantas deal. I think it's an individual or a small group philosophy on what they believe we should be doing. Certainly not what the if you ask the ratepayers what they want, they certainly wouldn't go for a block of land at a cost of, as you said, ending up to $1 million when there's other priorities that could have been spent to benefit the Shires.
Now, you're, of course, the boss of the Tin Shed and the Mossman Golf Club. You would occasionally have a beer. You would come along and you'd chat to your club members. What's the general feeling of the Tin Shed and Mossman Golf Club?
They question exactly what's going on, and you don't blame them. You know, as I said, the main thing I got upset over was when I read it in the last week or so what they're doing with that block of land now. when I was led to believe, and I believe most of the members I speak to and other people that I speak to, that they were led to believe that it was for carbon offset.
Once again, I guess we come back to public consultation. This council appears to me to do none of that. Now, they did have some what they called workshops for this, but I attended one of those down here in Port Douglas, and they weren't workshops, they were education shops.
Well, again, that's what I've heard too. Some of the people I spoke to, and there was one over at Cow Bay, they weren't workshops. They were basically, the people that attended were told by council what they're going to do.
That's right.
So that's not a workshop, and that's not asking for public consultation on anything. No different than running the tin shed. Mm-hmm. You know, if we make decisions, we big decisions that cost money, etc., you know, we certainly need to take our members along with the journey to make sure they're on side.
Okay, I will interview you as well as other candidates. We've invited every candidate to come along and have a chat and put up on podcast. We've got some that have said yes so far. Some of them haven't responded to us yet. And we'll certainly talk to you on that. But just finally, as we wrap this up, how's the campaign going for you?
It's a bit difficult. I'm new at this from a campaign point of view, and I'm learning each day.
You're pressing the flesh yet?
Oh, I'm just about to. I'm just about finished my Facebook page, so all this social media thing's all new.
Facebook page.
Even got photos professionally done, so I look a bit better than I normally do.
Well, anyway, I'll see you back for the big interview, 15 minutes of fame. I've offered that, as I said, to all candidates. Many have responded, some have not, but it's always open to them. And you'll come along and have a little chat. I'll have three questions for you. The questions will be the same for every candidate, and I'm sure you'll be able to answer them.
I look forward to it, Paul.
Good on you, mate. Before I go, you're closed at the moment, the tin shed, doing a bit of a refurb?
Oh, just doing a bit of tidy up. You know, revarnished that lovely timber floor we have.
Right.
We're fixing some air conditioners in the gaming room. Clean the sail, clean the carpets. So that'll be finished tomorrow. So we'll be back to normal on Thursday morning.
So you'll be opening on Thursday, which means the draw Wednesday evening is not happening.
No. We'll be up again on Sunday.
4:30 to 5:30 and $9,000.
Yes. And then if that doesn't go off, there'll be some surprises when it hits the $10,000 mark.
Yes, I'm told. I was told what's happening with that. They're going to split it up and
give it away on the day.
Give it away for members who are present. So if you want to get involved in Who Wants to Be a Thousandaire, go along to the Tin Shed and be part of the Mossman Golf Club. And that is Sunday, $9,000. Kim, thanks for talking with us today.
Thanks, Paul.